Has been great this morning thus far. Appreciate Julia sharing this morning, opening up for the welcome. It was great to hear Mr. Kevin. I think that man looked good. Slim, cut, haircut. I'm like, man, I miss those days. When I used to look that good as a young man. Wow. Youth is something else, but great, great. Thanks a lot to Gloria, who's really been working hard on our retreat and everything. Really doing a lot of leg work. So grateful for her work that she's putting in there. Really grateful. It was a great weekend last weekend with the singles, wasn't it? It was a great turnout, great time, great fellowship. Having our brothers and sisters come from everywhere. Really great and super, super encouraged as it was. Guys, we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Starting again, continue on. And you know, life is funny. You know, my job, our jobs, I should say, allows us to interact with various and different people. And my job, of course, I meet all kind of different people, interesting people. So I met this one client. It was just funny. And so, you know, me and her were talking. And they own some property off Ontario Road. And I thought, man, was this like part of the property that Todd and Delicia was looking at one time? Because it's a lot of land. I'm like, this is a lot of land. And they had sold some of it, like 70 acres to somebody else and everything. But they kept a lot of the properties. And so she was just telling me the backdrop story of her family and how they came to get their land, how her grandparents moved from a town called Manning, Louisiana, and they moved over here, and he was welding and owned a store, and he worked his way up, and they bought 40 acres of their land back in 72, I think it was, and kept it in the family. And so, you know, she was sharing some good moments, we laughed, and some tragic moments in the family. And, you know, you got sisters who live on the same property, a rock's throw from one another, but they don't talk. Haven't talked to each other in 7 years. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting looking like, wow. She said, I'm looking at the house and everything. You know, some family fall out. I said, wow. So we looked at that and said, man, they live that close. And then she talked about her mom and her other sister. And they have some rental property on the land. And they rent houses out. She said, rent is just so high. So they rent her house out to some women who are entertainers. Mm. And do you have that? This has been the case that I've been getting laid a lot of entertainers. So, but anyway, the story was funny. She said, you know, you have to be there because it's such a hoot to watch them. She said, because when those ladies come to pay their bills, their rent, they come, the rent is $600. They come with $1 bills all in $600. She said, $600 all in $1 bills.
Wow.
She said,
wow.
So, you know, my mom there, remember that, they old and paranoid. They come there with bowls of water, so they don't have to lick their hands. But they count the money, stick their hand in the water, and count the money. And she said, I'm just laughing the whole time watching this, you know. And I'm like, that is just so funny. But she said, you know, and I'm thinking of my mom there, well, you keep wetting your fingers, but you still, you know, it's getting contaminated. But she said it's just hilarious for her to see how her mom, who are like a lot older from the old age, just how they deal and interact with people. But I just thought that was hilarious and like, wow. Pay your rent and $1 bills, all $600.
Yeah.
But you know, people find a way to make a way. Like, look, I can pay.
That's right. So, money's money.
You know, that's it. Money is money. And that's even if you have to dip your hand in water, the kind of money is money's money. I thought, why not just get some gloves, you know, and be done with the issue?
Yeah.
Let's just get some gloves. But you know, sometimes you don't think a certain way, a clear way, but it just was funny. And so, you know, but over at Mark, you know, we're talking about Jesus. He's there. He's everything that we've been waiting for, but for some reason we can't see him clearly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to deal with something we talked about, is having a critical mind, just critical of what he should be when he comes. Nothing we're going to talk about today is just being so rigid, just very rigid. And when you're rigid, you have a hard heart.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's hard to really do something with anybody who has a hard heart. So as I study this over in Mark chapter 2, which talk about Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath, I studied this and just like really researched it. And I want to share something that I wrote down, just understanding from my research and everything. And this is what I wrote from my thoughts. It says, imagine building an institution that was meant to help people, give them purpose, and draw them closer to you. Now imagine this, you build this institution, okay? It says, you train, raise up, and appoint leaders to oversee the institution and be a guide for those seeking to understand how the institute works, or the institution works. You leave and you come back only to find out that the institution that you built to help the people has become oppressive, yes, confusing, right, and condemning.
Right.
What was meant to draw people near has created distance between you, your institution, and them.
That's right.
The people that you appointed to oversee the institution have become the oppressors who have stolen your institution and corrupted it, and therefore becoming your enemy.
Right.
You are the founder and owner of your institution, mm-hmm, just as Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbath means a day of religious observance and abstinence from work kept by Jewish people from Friday evening to Saturday evening. But for those of us living in the Western world, it's kept by us on Sunday, the day of rest. Imagine you entrusted some people with that, and they've just turned it into something else. Mm-hmm. While you got your finger marked over in Mark 2, turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Let's get a clarification and understanding what the Sabbath was meant for. Exodus chapter 20. Probably an easy place in the Bible to find out, because it talks about the Ten Commandments. If that'll help you out.
Yep.
A lot of us like, oh, the Ten Commandments. Yeah, I know where that's at. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we were talking with somebody the other night, and you know, we were talking about something about commandments, and they were asking a question about sin. They were like, you know what, the commandments, just where the sins are. And we're like, oh, there's more sins in the Bible than just the commandments, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just what we've been trained in life, but there is so much more. But over in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, so God is giving Moses instructions. And one of the things he says in verse 8, he says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Holy, it means pure, keeping it clean. So he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blesses the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Amen.
Wow. To give a clear understanding of that. So let's take a read at him, Mark chapter 2, verse 23. It says, on the Sabbath day, Jesus was walking through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisee said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Wow. You know, these guys took the Sabbath really personal. Yeah. Because if you understand back in Exodus, he gave the Sabbath to the Jews and no other nation.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, this is ours, this is sacred. And so here's Jesus walking through the grain field, and these guys are picking grains. And so they're like, wait a minute, this is unlawful. To the Jews, the Israelites, the Sabbath is a special sign between them and God. So when Jesus openly violated the Sabbath, it was like declaring war. This is how they viewed Jesus and his disciples when they were going through the grain field. They were picking heads of grain. They're like, oh, this is war. This is wrong. But how did they feel this way? Why did they feel this way? I did some research to find out that, guess what? The Jews outside of this came up with 39 strict other things to say, this is what you're not allowed to do on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
So I said, we can be like that. We can come up and say, well, look, we're not going to have none of this. Well, what does this mean? Well, let's put all these little sub things up under it to say, this is all attached to what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
They came up with something. And so I read some of this stuff. You can't cook on the Sabbath. Oh, you'll be fasting that day.
That's right.
There's no cooking on the Sabbath. I looked at some and said, why no cooking? So what are you going to do? Now, some of us may say, well, yeah, I can get a bar, Kit Kat bar, eat fruit or something like that, you know. But I couldn't imagine back in the day, well, what are we getting? Mm-hmm. What are we getting? No hot tea, no hot coffee, no hot water. No. You wake up on the Sabbath morning, you're not drinking no hot coffee in the morning. I just thought, they had so many things. And I had to just go down and listen, like, that's a lot of things. No cooking, no caring. They even had a strict rule for how far you could travel on the day of rest.
That's right.
What?
You only could travel but so far. If you travel too far, you're breaking the law.
Some still do that kind of stuff.
How do I? Really? So if mom, God forbid, if mom lives somewhere up real far, you can't go see mom that day. But these are rules that they added on. And because they added this rule, it made it hard for people to draw closer to God. Mm-hmm. God entrusted them with the Sabbath, not for them to use it to oppress the people, but so that the people could draw closer to God. Mm-hmm. But instead, they turned it into something that people didn't like. It created a distance. You know, something that I wrote down when I read this, I thought was, a rigid person leaves no room for God to live in the heart, dwell in their mind, or bond with their soul. Because when they are so rigid, their heart is too hard to let anybody in. Where are you in your walk with God today? Are you rigid? Have you been rigid? I've been called rigid before many years ago. I remember that. At the time when I was called rigid, I didn't get it. But God gives me grace and let me live a little bit and say, you know, God, I think you was right on that. Not maybe you was right, but no, you were right. Back then, I was very rigid. Are you distant from God? If you are distant from God, then you are in the world. Do you understand that? Because if you're not close to God, you got to be close to what? To something else. Mm-hmm. So you're closer to the ideology of what the world is feeding. Are you confused? If you're confused, then you are lost and you lack clarity of what it means to be close to God. Maybe you just don't know. That happens. You gotta ask yourself, do you love the institution more than you love God? Mm-hmm. The one who actually gave you the institution. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can you imagine? You're the founder. You're the CEO of something. You created it for a certain purpose. You leave people in charge to manage it, to help other people. You come back and the people don't accept you because you're not who they've conjured up in their mind who they say, well, this is what you should be like. You're totally different from what they have built in their mind as far as to what you should be like, how you should act, and how you should look. That's got to be hard, as Jesus is God in the flesh. But I love Jesus' response, his response to him. Turn me over to Matthew 12. So Mark version is written to the Jews, but more, this answer here was written more to the Romans. And the reason why Mark is responsible for the answer of David is because the Romans are familiar with David. You know why? Because David was a king. David's status was a little higher in the scriptures. But in Matthew gives us another view of where Jesus responds, not only with David, but three other responses to the Jews where they knew history, I should say the Jewish history. And over in Matthew chapter 12, verse 3, it says, Jesus says, he answers, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or haven't you read in the law that the priest on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrated the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent.
That's right.
For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So let's break some things down here. So one thing God wants us to know is that man was not made for the Sabbath, which we know as Sunday, the day of rest, but the Sabbath, which we know as Sunday, was made for us.
That's right.
Let's get that clear. The Sabbath was never meant to be a bondage over the people, but this is what they have done. Let's look at verse 5, but Jesus is making clear. Jesus says, he's pointed out that the priests disrespected the Sabbath and were considered innocent. Let me give you an example of this. Some of you may know this, but senators, congressmen, what are they? They are our what? Lawmakers, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Does the law apply to them?
No.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's supposed to.
Right.
But Scott answers right. Now, you say it's supposed to, but they have admitted on TV. If you watch a little documentary or whatever, they say, we write the laws. We're above the laws. It don't apply to us.
That's insane.
That's a congressman. That's all right. They'll tell you that. Doesn't apply to us. The priests here in the Bible, guess what? They're on duty. They're supposed to uphold the Sabbath. Jesus said, but they what? They disrespected. Mm-hmm. They desecrated. Mm-hmm. And you consider them innocent because of the position they have. Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. Jesus pointed out. So Jesus telling him, so you mad at my disciples because they're going to pick your grain head, which is not against the law, but this is some man-made law you put into place. So you really want to persecute these guys who are innocent and persecute me, really, which who you're after. But your priests, they deliberately break a law on the Sabbath, which is written. And guess what? You don't have a problem with it. You claim them innocent. Verse 6, Jesus says, because of their rigid thinking, they could not see the Creator of Sunday, as we know it, or the Sabbath was standing in front of them. He says in verse 6, he says, I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. When your heart is rigid and your heart is hard, you can't see Jesus when he's standing in front of you. He says, man, something greater than this temple, greater than this day that you're all concerned about, is right here. The founder, the creator of it all, is right here. But a rigid heart will not allow you to see it.
Come on, bro.
Finally, verse 7. Jesus says, if you had known what these words mean, man, he's telling you, you don't even know. You're in the dark. You don't get it. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You would have not condemned the innocent. Talking about the people, but specifically talking about Jesus and his disciples.
Right.
You see, Jesus desires compassion, not sacrifice. We were studying with somebody, and we were sharing with them about, you know, you can sacrifice all you want to sacrifice in the world. And all of us have sacrificed so much. And when we sacrifice, we feel like we've done so much. Mm-hmm. I put in so much work in this. I've given so much of this, so much of my money, so much of my time. I've given all my heart, all this. This should count for something. But this is the second time in the Bible where Jesus pointed out that sacrifice is the least of the two. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We know over there when he talked to David, he says, I desire obedience over sacrifice. Now he's telling you, I desire compassion over sacrifice.
Yep.
You can sacrifice all you want in the world to everything you want in the world. But man, if you're missing the other part, it's worthless. It's meaningless. Kind of goes with the scripture over in 1 Corinthians. If you have not love, you are a descending gong. Jesus wanted them to get what they were not getting, and that they were not loving the people, that they were not representing the day of Sabbath in the correct way, that they did not realize that, guess what, Sunday, that man was not made for Sunday or the day of rest, but that the day of rest was made for us. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants others to understand that everything he has created is made for us. Not us for the things that he has created. And the same goes for us in our relationship with God. We were made for God, mm-hmm. not God made for us. Mm-hmm. But we can live a life and feel like God owes me. God was made for me. Therefore, God owes me everything. Look at what I'm going through. Look at what I'm suffering. Look at the hardship. Life is just hard, God. God is made for me. And God said, you have it confused. No, you're made for me. You are made for me. You know, one thing he pointed out about David and going to the temple was that the necessity outweighed the law during that time. When guys were hungry, they were starving.
Yep.
They needed food. And Jesus said, would you have turned them away? because of your rules, because of your law. I thought about that. What if we were meeting somewhere else, let's say like Twin Lakes, and all we had left was some communion bread, and some homeless guy showed up and said, I'm hungry and I'm starving. What would we do? Mm-hmm. Would we be so rigid as not to say, well, hey, here's some bread. Can I have it? Like, no, that bread's reserved for a special thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ah, man. It's kind of like the thing, Scripture Julie read earlier that Patricia shared, you know, when did you see me hungry? Jesus says, you know, there are times to respect our laws, but also there are times when the necessity outweighs that.
Yep.
And we need to be open enough to see that. Mm. Finally, in Matthew 12:9, he says, going on from that place, he went to the synagogue. Oh, look, Jesus is always going into their churches, mm-hmm. their church building. He says, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. So the Pharisees, they're following him, just trying to say, how can we accuse this guy? How can we charge him? Bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Here we go again. Man, that Sabbath means something to them.
Yeah, sure.
More important to them than Jesus.
Yeah.
He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And you got to get this. God said, hold on. Who's more valuable? The animal or a human? He said, it's like, this is a no-brainer.
Right.
You're asking me, is it lawful to help this person? This person, who knows how long he's been with a shriveled hand, a messed up hand. And you recognize that I have the ability to help him. But you don't care about that. All you care about is it right for you to do this because it's Sunday? Mm-hmm. Man, what does it say about your heart and where you're at? Mm-hmm. That's what they're caring about. Jesus said, well, wait a minute, hold on. Jesus said, let me just dumb this down for you. You have sheep that works in your field, right? You have oxen that works in your field. So if it falls off in a hole somewhere, but you know you need that ox, are you going to leave it there till Monday? Or you going to do everything you can do to get that oxen out, to make sure it's taken care of, to make sure it's nursed, to make sure it's healthy, so what? It can go to work first thing on what? Monday morning. Mm-hmm. He said, so if you're willing to do that on a Sunday, on a rest day, how much important is this guy suffering? Healing. You know, sometimes we don't see it like that. Sometimes we can be like him. I can tell you plenty of times when I've had work to do, I had to go to Office Depot and buy some equipment. Buy pencils, paper, whatever. Had to go back in cartridges. Plenty of times I've worked on a Sunday. I've had to get job done. But the question is, when somebody needs your help on a Sunday, are you available? Doesn't matter if they're in the church or not, are you available? Now, it's one thing if your heart's not in it, but it's another thing to say, I'm not available because it's Sunday. It's a rest day. We do nothing on this day. Are you available? This scripture and this passage that Jesus is saying here, it speaks so many volumes of how we can fall into being hypocritical. Because we'll say, well, I'm not available to help nobody. But guess what? If we were living up in the Old Testament time and we were following their strict rules, guess what? You shouldn't be going home to cook Sunday dinner.
Right.
Slow cook it or not. Jesus wants you to understand that people are more valuable at any given time than your laws. Now, he wants you to make sure you don't go around breaking the law, but there will come a time when you realize that at this point in time in my life, that this is a little more important. Mm-hmm. And this law is not going to be a send me to hell type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're going to help this person, and it's going to be okay.
Amen.
He closes out and says, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. That would just blow your mind, somebody did it. You're like, wait a minute, this guy just had his hand healed, and you mad, so you're going to go out and like, we're going to kill him because he healed somebody on a Sunday. But sometimes we can think that way like people. You're mad because somebody was healed on a Sunday.
Yeah.
When you're rigid, there's no room for God in your heart.
That's right.
And there's no room for the things that God wants to do How many times have you gone to the store and studied to get material for a job? How many times have you worked on a Sunday? You know, you and I, we have a choice for whether or not to be critical or rigid, or to be compassionate or merciful, no matter what day of the week it is. A critical person is blind and can't see God. A rigid person has a hard heart, which leaves no room for God to come in. A disciple can be neither of those if we want to reach people who are lost, confused, and distant. Just can't. You can't help nobody if you're one of those.
Right.
Who would want to join you in service if this is what you're about?
Amen.
Who would want to worship with you?
That's right.
I don't care how great the singing is. Mm-hmm. When they find out that there's so many restrictions and you can't do this and that, they're gone. They're like, we have no room. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got too much to deal with on the outside. Then I have to come and deal with this in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
We need to meet the necessity of their souls, because people's souls are hungry.
Mm.
They are so hungry to know God. Mm. So hungry to know Jesus. We were singing that song, Open Eyes of My Heart. And I thought, he said, holy, holy, holy. I want to see that. And when you look at the word holy, holy means pure.
Mm.
When you think about it, pure. That means it's not contaminated in no way, no form, shape, or fact. It's just clean. I thought that is so true. I want to see that. Because in the world, I see everything that's contaminated, that's been tainted. I see it all the time. I was talking to a man over there, another one of my clients. He lives in a neighborhood. He's disabled and everything. Has this nice car, jet black, charged nice. And he gives me the same story that I've heard so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can do is just hurt for him. I'm like, oh, maybe nobody didn't tell him or something. Sitting at a stoplight, somebody came and hit his car. And it's totaled. It's totaled. He went, and it's crazy. It's getting ripped off all kind of ways. But nothing can be done about it because he didn't put the right things in place.
Mm-hmm.
So he got his car in the backyard. I mean, the back end is just smashed into the back. See, it's like, God, this guy hit you hard. So he's just going on, man, can you help me? And one of my jobs is I have to look at the police report. And one of the first things we do in order to help people I have to look at is, do you have insurance?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have insurance, okay, that's a strike one. Now I look and see that the person hit you have insurance. And when they don't have insurance, I'm like, there's nothing we can do. Because
mm-hmm.
you have to have some type of coverage in order for us to help you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I listen to him like, God, his soul is hungry. He's hurting so bad. But he's not listening. He's not getting it.
Right.
And he shares about all the hardship he's been through in life. He's had both his cars set up on blocks in his neighborhood. When he went somewhere and came back and they took all his tires off both his car and left him on blocks in his backyard. He shared about that. He shared about all the gunshots he's having to live with around there and everything. Shooting sometimes, he's just afraid for his boys. I was like, man, I hurt for you so bad. But at the same time, I'm like, it's always something we can do. No matter how bad it is, some things we have to change in the way we handle business, how we conduct things. I hear your soul is hurting and hungry. But in order for your souls and your needs to be met,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to make some changes yourself too.
Yep.
Right.
God's going to send people in your lives. And God's going to be sure we do our part. But God's never going to do everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
God said, no, you got to put forth some effort. Because if I do everything for you, you're not going to value it.
That's right.
You're just not going to do it. You know, we need to meet their necessities for their soul is hungry. We need to show them that someone greater than their problem is here. We need to show them compassion and mercy as we lead them to Jesus, who is waiting for them to commit to follow him. You know, the Pharisees, they just can never from day one, they could never get behind the founder and the creator of all things.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled. Yet the tax collector and all the people who felt rejected and distant, they got behind Jesus. We're going to follow. We're going to go. And although the Pharisees wanted to attack his followers, their attack was really never at his followers. It was always at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not the Jesus that we were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the one that we have in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir. You're not who we want.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And let's not be afraid to help anyone on any given day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.